the judge is looking at the paperwork and she's like, well, I don't see a lease. How do you know they overstayed? Why aren't you suing for back rent? And the attorney is trying to explain it. And I finally, I just, not hard, but I pounded my hands on the desk. I said, he's a squatter. He's a squatter. He doesn't, he's never been a tenant. He doesn't belong in my house.
Hey, y'all. This is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey, everybody. Jason Wheeler here this week. Whiteley is going to be with us here in just a few minutes because we are dividing and conquering this week on the podcast because we've got two super interesting voices on a really interesting topic. This has to do with property rights, which, as we know, are huge here in Texas. You're always hearing about the homestead and the importance of that. There are state laws here to protect your home from creditors, even if you owe them a lot of money in some cases. There are state laws here allowing you to protect your home with deadly force if you feel necessary. But there appears to be a major loophole in protecting your home here in Texas from somebody just deciding to take up residence there while you're away and essentially turn it into their home. Now, that sounds like something that couldn't possibly happen, but it does happen. And you would think that, well, when it does, it's probably easy to remedy just by telling authorities and showing them the proof that you're the rightful homeowner. But you know what? It ain't that easy. And you can ask thousands of Texas homeowners to verify that. Today, we're just going to ask one of them. Her name is Terry Boyette. She is joining us today from Florida. Her home's here in Texas, but she's in Florida. We'll explain. Terry, we usually have a Texas craft beer here on the podcast. Okay. And I'm turning to one of my old favorites just because it already feels like summer and probably does there in Florida as well.
Yes, it does.
I'm having an Austin East Ciders pineapple cider. It's really good, very light. You, though, are having something a little harder than that this afternoon.
I can't say
I blame you.
Yeah, I am actually having Buffalo Trace has a new limited edition Travelers. And they partnered with a master crafter and came up with it. And I got to tell you, if you like bourbon, this is good. I'm a big bourbon fan. And this is, I like a rye. This is not a rye, but it's very smooth, goes down really well. A little bit of burn, but not too much.
Really. You are a good friend of the podcast because we do like bourbon here on this podcast. Are you drinking it straight?
I just on the rocks. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I'm a grown up.
It's been that kind of year though, Terry.
Yes, it has.
And
you're
it
lucky
has,
I don't just put a straw in this bottle and start drinking it.
No crazy straws in the bottle, please. It has been a year now. And before we get into all of the craziness, and there has been a lot of craziness with your case. And again, this is one of many cases like this in Texas. I mean, your home has been trashed. Yep. Some of your things inside were sold by this person who took up residence. Mm-hmm. And a year later, you're still not in the house. We're going to get into all of those details here in just a minute. I just wanted to start off the top here. I mean, you have a great disposition.
Thank you.
But, you know, I want you to just have an open mic here and just let us know, what has this done to your life over this past year? And can you just talk us through the range of emotions that you're feeling?
Gosh, it's a lot. It goes from, honestly, just laughing because I can't believe it. It's like, I just am like, this is so ridiculous. I don't know what else to do crawling into bed and pulling the covers over my head and just sobbing. I think the thing that this has really pulled the rug out from under me is your home is your castle. You know, I'm always like, look, I go out to work. But when I go home and I close that door, then that is my world and I am safe and I can relax and I don't have to, you know, have anybody in. It's kind of your own safety place, right? It's your castle. And that has been completely ripped out from under me, you know, and it, that sense of security that one, you can depend on the police and the mayor and the government to take care of you if you're a law-abiding citizen and have your back has been lost. That sense of faith in them is gone. And, but also that sense of security that you have a home to go to and that what you've worked for is there. So really it's shaken my sense of faith and confidence in living in our society. And that's one of the hardest things. I'm a big patriot. I love America. I back the men in blue. I believe in the American dream. I have family stories of people who came from nothing and succeeded. But that has really been the hardest thing, is just the constant sense of, am I going to get my house back? What's going to happen when I get in there? It was far worse than I expected. Can I depend on insurance? Is anything going to be done to this guy? And it is just one set of insecurity and kind of having the rug pulled out from underneath you after another.
And you talk about the American dream. And for a lot of people, that American dream includes owning a home, which you do, but it doesn't feel like that right now. So you're in Florida right now. You went there last June to help your mother for a few weeks. You're still there now. Your home is here in Texas. I believe it's in Mesquite, just outside of Dallas. And you still can't come back home. Mm-mm. Why can't you come home?
It's a biohazard. So one of the things that the person who squatted, and he allowed other people to come in and use drugs there, is they sold all my appliances. And when they disconnected the fridge and the washer, they didn't turn off water. So there's been a steady dream of dripping water. Also, they ripped out the Nest thermostat, and cut a bunch of wires. So there's been no air conditioning in the home. So that just has, and there's been rotten food. So there is mold, there's rotten food. They're testing because drugs have been used in the house. And, you know, right now fentanyl is mixed into everything. There's piles of clothes and garbage. There's needles mixed in with that. So it's
a very dangerous place.
Yeah, it's basically a biohazard. So the people who are in, going in there and testing for all of this are actually wearing masks and suits.
Jeez. I've seen some pictures of this, and it looks treacherous. It looks terrible. But that doesn't even, I mean, the pictures don't even tell the story when you describe it like that. I mean, what has happened inside that home while you were away was just staggering. And this all began, I mean, you left, as I said, to go to Florida to take care of your mom. You hired a repairman from TikTok. Is that right?
No, I hired him from Thumbtack. Thumbtack has, and they, you know, and he was highly rated. He'd done, you know, and he came out, I needed some painting done because I just bought this house in it's September 2021 and I wanted some painting done. So he came out, he did the painting, did a fantastic job at a great price. And I was like, great. Now I have a handyman. So then I wanted some shelves put up. I called him back. Hey, can you come back and put up some shelves? He did a great job, needed flooring replaced. So he had done work in and out of my, never had any problems. Nothing was stolen. The work was fantastic. It wasn't shoddy. Great price. I'd recommended him to other people. I think even one of my neighbors came over, was like, hey, could you come over and paint or fix something? Never had any problems. And so I was ramping up. My father had passed away and we were trying to decide what to do with my mom. And so I told my sister, why don't we have her come live with me and get her out of the house, see how that does. And I told him, hey, I'm going to go home, wrap up what you're doing now. I'll call you when I get back because I'm going to need some handrails put up to make sure in the bathroom and in the hallways because she's getting shaky on her feet. I don't know what else I may need to help her, but I'll let you know. What I did know is that in the meantime, while I was gone, apparently he had started drinking and using drugs and his wife put him out of the house. Mm. He didn't have anywhere to go. So he was like, well, I know Terry's out of town. And... Jeez. And he broke into my home. And I don't know if his intention was to stay there or not. I don't know. But I, years ago, was a drug counselor. And I know once people start using drugs, then they just, you know, they don't think clearly.
Everything changes. So how did you figure out that he had moved into the place, though?
I didn't know who it was, but a friend of mine was going by and picking up mail for me. Mm-hmm. And she saw him and was like, who are you? And he's like, oh, I'm renting the house.
Oh, wow. So
she called me and she's like, I can't believe you didn't tell me you weren't coming back from Florida and that you rented out your house. I said, well, I can't believe I didn't tell you that either because that's not happening. What are you talking about? She's like, there's a guy living in your house and he says he's renting it. I'm like, nope, I'm planning to be home in 5 days. So I called the front desk of the police department and I was like, hey, there's somebody living in my house who doesn't belong there. I didn't call 911 and people asked me. I was in Florida, so I don't know if I need to be there. to make this happen? You know, I don't know. So I called and I was like, hey, I'm out of town, but somebody's in my house. Can you, you know, what do I need to do to get him out? And they said, how long has he been there? I said, I've been gone a little over 2 weeks. It's a civil matter. And I said, but.
So that's not a criminal matter. That's a civil matter.
It's a civil matter. And I said, I don't know what that means. And because I did. And I'm like, I don't. And they said, well, you'll have to evict him. I said, but he's not a tenant. And well, it's a civil matter. And
so you don't have a lease with this guy. So no. Yeah, it's hard to evict somebody when you don't have a lease with someone. And I know you turned to an attorney, and it gets kind of squishy if you do, you know, serve eviction papers to this person, because then you are recognizing them as the tenant, yes. Aren't you?
Yes. And that's the thing I learned is do not serve eviction papers, because then they're a tenant and they have all the rights that go with the tenant. There are people who actually help with squatters legally. The struggle I had is I worked after I got out of social work, I've worked in mortgage. So I've done foreclosures. I was like, I'll evict him myself. I don't need any help with this. But the challenge was I was trying to file paperwork to evict a squatter. Squatters are not recognized as somebody who needs to be evicted in Texas. You have very limited choices on who you can evict. And so because I'm trying to evict a squatter, the court is like, we don't know what you're talking about, basically, right?
Because so a squatter is basically just somebody who is not supposed to be in the house, but has, yeah, you know, sort of taken over possession while you were away. And right, it's not legal, but here you are trying to get it remedied and you're running into brick walls.
The law does not recognize. So so there are specific things you have to put in a letter when you're going to evict somebody that didn't apply to me, because this person was never a tenant. So because I left out those specific phrases, they're like, well, we can't give you a court date because your letters are incorrect. I'm like, but he's not a tenant. So I hired an attorney and they told me, they said, you're going to have to pick one or the other. Either it's an oral agreement or he's a tenant who's overstayed. We cannot file paperwork on a squatter.
So this didn't exist. It doesn't exist in the law.
Correct.
Wow.
You in the law, you were considered a tenant of some kind.
But at some point you ended up in front of a judge for this. Yes. And then you know, they agreed like, okay, this guy's got to leave. But well, then they gave him some time.
Yeah. So we went before the judge and the judge is looking at the paperwork and she's like, well, I don't see a lease. How do you know they overstayed? Why aren't you suing for back rent? And the attorney is trying to explain it. And I pounded my hands on the desk. I said, he's a squatter. He's a squatter. He's never been a tenant. He doesn't belong in my house. And she looked at me and this is ingrained. She goes, oh, you just want access to your house?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I'm.
That would be great.
The house I saved up and put a down payment for and pay for every month and pay. Yeah, I would like access to that. And then she did the, which people have heard, well, it's the holidays and I don't want anybody to be homeless over the holidays. So I'm going to extend his appeal time by 30 days. And he used that appeal time to have a yard sale and sell my dishes and flatware, a bunch of my clothes. Apparently my neighbor said a bunch of people were leaving out the back with my clothes, shoes, just, I don't even know what all's gone yet. Right. I know all my jewelry is gone and I can't find most of my dishes and my flatware, all the drawers in the kitchen are empty. So, and my dining room table is gone. And, but yeah, so I was, and I'm standing there like, but I'm home. Granted, I'm staying with my mother, but I'm homeless and I am the one paying property taxes, homeowners insurance, a home payment, paying to have the lawn done. They told me you cannot turn off electric and utilities. Gosh. Because that is considered harassment and he could sue you for that.
So you're paying his utility, yes, bills while, yes, he is illegally living in your house.
Yes, because it would be considered tenant harassment. So Texas doesn't recognize a squatter in this way, right? They recognize a squatter as somebody who took over with the intention of keeping a house and took care of it for 10 years. And I really think squatter is the wrong word. Invader would be better. But yeah, so I was paying for it. He got that additional time. And then we had to turn in a writ. So his appeal was up January 5th. He was finally served an eviction notice, like the final notice, because he got three on February 5th, and he was finally evicted on March 20th.
Has this guy ever said anything to you about this?
The only time I've seen him was the day of the eviction, Dallas County came and they cleared the house for me. And he showed up while I was at the house. I was there with a friend. He showed up and he came in the house and told me I had to be out, that I wasn't allowed to be there. Wow. And I called the police. The police showed up. I told them, I said, he's a squatter. He's been evicted. I had to provide ID to prove I was the homeowner. And I had to provide proof that I had evicted him. And they called and validated that. Keep in mind, nobody had ever validated that he had a right to be there. None.
That's amazing.
So they told him, well, you've got to go. And I said, well, I want a trespass warning. And they said, well, you have to give him 24 hours to come back and get his stuff off the corner, so we can't trespass him. So I had to put all his stuff out, make sure that he had time to get it. And then after that, he tried to break in three times. The third time he got in, he kicked in a window. And I asked the police, you know, I wanted him arrested for burglary. And they said, well, nobody lives here. The house is abandoned.
Gosh. I said, yeah, no, I live no. here. I and used to live here.
I don't know if you've looked around, but nobody can live here. So he is, but what I did do is I talked to the detective and I said, look, I have, because they're like, well, you have to prove he's the one who sold the stuff. I said, okay, well, I have his online profile with my address, his picture and his phone number at the time, because he's, you know, changing phones, with my items, and I can provide you receipts and pictures where I ordered these things off of line. Is that enough? And they said, probably, but they ended up filing burglary charges for those items.
So I've been a mouth breather this entire podcast so far, which, you know, maybe isn't that unusual, but I've been a mouth breather in this whole thing, because it's just like your mouth falls open because you can't believe what you're hearing. Like I'm shocked by every piece of this that you tell me, especially here in Texas. I mean, let's go back to the top of things here. When I'm talking about, you know, how much we talk about property rights here in Texas, and you know, we're so homeowner friendly, or, you know, it's all about the homeowner and your property. It's all yours. It's your castle. And here we are in Texas. This is not only happening to you, but thousands of other people, as we've come to learn. Did this shock you? Does it still shock you?
It still does. And it's funny because I have, I posted a TikTok that ended up blowing up. And what's funny, and I've done follow-ups, people ask, is people will be like, oh, well, you should live in Texas. I'm like, I do. Because they're like, this would never happen in Texas. I'm like, that's what I thought. But right now there are just under 500 cases in the Dallas area alone. Apparently Dallas is a big hotspot for this. And it is. And I was actually on Fox News, and the guy asked me, he goes, but you live in Texas. You guys have all the guns. How did this happen? I'm like, but the thing is, once he's in, until we go to court, that's his place to live. And anything I do is trespassing and invading.
That is amazing what somebody can do with just a toehold in your place.
Yeah. And like I said, I think when I was there and I was like, well, he's evicted and this is my house. And he told him, oh, she's not the homeowner. And they were like, well, you need to prove it. I'm like, I have to prove something. Why would I want this house? Look at it. What reason would I have for being here if it wasn't my home to fight for?
So you mentioned that, you know, you know, this is a big thing in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. There's a lot of cases there of this. The Houston area, as I understand it, has had a ton of these as well. It's all over the state. Yeah. I'm curious, you went and testified to lawmakers at the state capitol. State lawmakers held a hearing on this, the local government committee it was. Yeah. They were shocked, I think, too, by what you told them.
And mad. And they were kind of surprised and shocked. I think they didn't expect it. Like, I think they were like me in that if somebody's breaking the law, which breaking into my home, and I call the police will go take them out and that person will be prosecuted and I'll go. I think that's what I thought would happen. I think that's what everybody thinks. And so they were quite shocked, quite surprised. In two of Senator Hall and Senator West, we went up and had a talk with Mesquite PD, and they released a statement, and it was disheartening because their thing was, we didn't receive a call in June with me calling them. And I was kind of like, I'm not sure why I would make up having to evict someone, but okay. And they were like, well, we got three calls from my cell phone and we didn't know that person was a squatter. And I was like, I called you from my cell phone, but I also called you from a friend's cell phone. I also had a friend who called you. My neighbors called you. There were multiple calls to this residence, mm-hmm. right? It wasn't just like one of my neighbors called and said, I think that this guy is squatting and I think he may have killed the owner.
Wow, geez.
And so
I get a quick response. Right. You know, I get the weird position that police are in here because, you know, they're usually out to handle crimes like when something mm-hmm. like that you just said has happened. But they have trouble, like, you know, how do we sort through this if it is right. a civil, you know, matter, or if it is something like who is the rightful owner? And you would think, I think lawmakers thought that, you know, we've got a system for this. It works. It's fine. And I think that this has highlighted that, no, it's not all fine. So you spoke with this small group of lawmakers about this in this committee. We're going to have a legislative session starting in January. What would you say right now? I mean, we know that lawmakers listen to this podcast because right. it's politics. And we know that Texas lawmakers listen to this. You've got the mic. What do you say to these people?
Pass the law. I mean, and this is one of the things I said in one of the interviews, is two things that came to light from this is, one, when the police said we checked the court case, this was a tenant holdover. Well, of course it was filed as a tenant holdover because I can't file it as a squatter, right? I have no option but to file an eviction against a tenant, regardless of how they got there. So I think that's a huge gap that I didn't even think of until the police released their statement. I'm like, wait a minute. And then I went back to my attorney and they're like, we had to. And I reviewed our communication where there was no choice. So there has to be a remedy in the law that keeps tenants safe, but says this person is not a tenant. They don't deserve tenant rights and tenant protections. And right now that doesn't exist. So if you file an eviction, you have to call that person a tenant, which means you're now stuck going by tenant guidelines. Mm-hmm. And I think it ties the hands of the police, because had they pulled my court case, they would have, and they did, they were like, this is a tenant. And so, you know, you take a lot of digging in and having to talk to me and the attorney and go through court records to realize I had no choice, right? And then the other thing I think they definitely need to do is have something that covers criminal trespass and burglary and vandalism, mm-hmm. because what the direction I get is, well, you need to sue him to remedy that. Well, he's a homeless crackhead. So right now I'm looking at over $150,000 worth of damage. And people's first suggestion is, well, why don't you sue him? For what? What? I mean, he doesn't have $150,000 worth of crack. And even if he did, I don't know where to sell it. So there's no, that's not a remedy. So I think that there needs to be, one, something that insurance understands this and what it is, because I went through a lot of agony the first month trying to get Allstate to understand what happened.
I was just going to ask you, does an insurance company play ball on this? I mean, I haven't checked my coverage for if there's a squatter, you know what I mean? Like, I never even thought of this.
But I will tell you this, there is a time limit on how long you can be out of your house that they won't pay a claim. And it's as little as 10 days on some policies.
Oh, wow. That I did not know.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. This is one of the things I tell people constantly when they ask what I can do, is one of the things they told me is, well, if you were gone more than 30 days, we won't cover anything. And I was like, I was not gone more than 30 days. And, you know, here's, you know, boxes and deliveries and different things. But there are homeowners insurance. When I was talking to the attorney, where if you're gone for more than 14 days and somebody comes in your home, insurance considers it vacant and they don't have to cover it. Wow. So one of the things I tell people, and it's as short as 10 days, the attorney told me they've seen them as short as 10 days. People go on 2-week vacations. So one of the things I tell people is, one, check your homeowner's policy and it makes sure that it's at least 30 days or more. And if you're going to be gone for more than 30 days for any reason, you need to get a vacancy addendum that will cover it no matter what. But I've had people who were like, I checked, mine's 14 days. I had to call them, or, you know, I'm going to be gone for 6 weeks on an extended vacation. So I had to call them. So one, I think people need to be aware that's something that should be, you know, insurance companies to let people know, because 30 days, maybe, but 2 weeks.
People do that all the time. Well, right. And even in a case like this, you know, 30 days, that sounds, you know, more generous. But if you are no longer allowed in your home anymore, right, because you can't get rid of the squatter who's in it, then you're going to be out for more than 30 days, right, now.
And then,
it's so, a catch 22.
So, right. And so, and that's one of the challenges with insurance is because Texas doesn't have this as a clear crime. Hey, this guy's a squatter. He vandalized the home. He burglarized the home. There was no, you know, and we can file them as a squatter and we can give that to insurance and they can go, this is a clear crime. Okay, we're good. That's not what happens, right? So the police are, well, it's a civil matter. Insurance is like, well, we can't do anything because it's not a crime. And you weren't, like, my home was not a rental, right? So they're like, well, you were supposed to be living there. Why is somebody else there? And then the police are like, well, you know, it was a tenant, so it's civil. No, it wasn't. I don't have a choice. So there's a lot of, you know, you have to get into this. So finally, I told the police, I said, if you don't give me a case, I can't file homeowners insurance and I cannot sue this guy. So I need you to open a case on this so I can go to my insurance. And so the officer was like, okay, I got it. And they opened a burglary case. And then I provided them the online stuff, which is very small compared to what's gone in the house. But you're caught in this perfect storm of, it's not a crime, it's civil, where insurance is, well, it's not a crime, it's civil, and police are, it's not a crime, it's civil. But they, and you've got to get them, I mean, this has become a full-time job. Between getting the information and getting it back and forth, and then having to constantly explain and provide validation that, you know, I was trapped in a system that didn't allow me to address squatter. So I'm doing the best I can. And I need you guys to get on the same page.
I don't know how you're still standing after a year of this, Terry, but wow, what an incredible cautionary tale, I think, for the rest of us. There's stuff to learn here. What a great nugget of advice about the homeowner's insurance. I never considered that. I'm definitely going to look at that myself, and probably everybody else is like going into that file that they have to dust off. Mm-hmm. Before I let you go, though, what other advice would you have for homeowners here in Texas who think, oh, that's not going to happen to me? You know, I mean, we all have, you know, handy people who come over and do things. And in some cases, you know, you have to be out of the house for that. What do you say to homeowners here in Texas? What advice do you give them?
One, I would say sign something, but there was a couple in San Antonio that did that with a homeowner and he still managed to stay in their home. So that's tough. But one, if you can't be there, don't have someone there. And even if you just have to have a neighbor or a friend be there, don't let people in. Two, always have a Ring doorbell. And when you go out of town, have motion cameras on in your house so that the moment you see somebody before even a day goes by, you can call the police and say, this person's a burglar. Don't even give them a chance to stay overnight. And that's really the best thing we can do right now until we get this law passed.
Some sage advice there. Terry Boyette, I'm really sorry, seriously, really sorry for everything that you've been through. It's such a violation, as you say, when it's our home that happens to, you know. But thank you for sharing the story for the rest of us and with lawmakers so that something can get done on this. I'm going to let you get to that rambunctious little puppy in the background, dying to know what that thing looks like. It sounds adorable and like it needs attention and wants to be pet for a little while.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
No, it's it made me curious what she looks like. Are you going to show us?
Yeah. This is baby Alice.
You caused all that noise, yes, little baby Alice.
Was chasing her mom. And Alice is special. Alice was born with spina bifida and they said she would never walk. She runs and jumps and plays. And she is an amazing little miracle. She can get up. They said she'll never walk. She's up and down the stairs. You heard her running around like crazy. So she's been a blessing this last year.
You've needed her to hug and pet, haven't you?
And to see something positive. Like, she struggled so much when she was born, and now she's just jumps and runs, and they thought she wouldn't make it, and she is just blooming.
Terry, I think Alice is in your life for a reason this time, for sure. Terry, thank you so much for sharing the story, and again, for sharing with lawmakers, because you got bipartisan lawmakers here from both sides of the aisle to shake their heads in the same direction and agree on something here. It does look like something will get done.
Yes.
One of those lawmakers is a very powerful one. He chairs the local government committee that we were talking about, the one that you testified in front of. His name is State Senator Paul Bettencourt. Mm-hmm. And Whiteley caught up with him after that hearing where you testified and got some more from him on what's going to happen next. So let's listen to that.
Senator, welcome back to the program here. Texas has such strong private property rights. Why is it so difficult for property owners to kick out squatters when they're on their land?
Well, quite unbelievably, we don't have a definition for squatters anywhere in the Texas code. And that's something we found out when Lieutenant Governor Patrick assigned us the interim charge, because we've been seeing these cases pop up. Well, they're not isolated. This is a much bigger problem than I thought. And for example, we had a national group come testify. There's 475 active squatting cases in Dallas-Fort Worth area alone. It means that we know from constable testimony, there's probably thousands in Houston and maybe up to 10,000 in the state. So this is a big undiscussed problem, because once a squatter gets in, you could, you know, use neutron weapons. You won't have much of the building left to get rid of them. I mean, it's really horror stories.
These squatting cases end up in civil court. Why isn't it criminal court?
Well, it's because the Constitution sets these property right cases up to the justice of the peace. Well, you know, to give you an example how bad the system has gotten, we had a testimony from one homeowner in Mesquite, Texas, who finally got to a JP and thought they would finally get their crackhead squatter out. But Justice of the Peace Margaret O'Brien, she said, well, I don't know what to do with the squatter. I'm not going to evict him over the holidays. So she let a squatter stay in Terry's home and not let her come back. That's how off kilter this system is, because we've let leftist progressive mantra dictate this coast to coast again. And this is the wrong answer. If you own your property, you own it. Squatters have no right to it. But we took testimony from her. We took testimony from a couple in San Antonio, the apartment association, people brandishing guns at, you know, apartment owners. I mean, it's a zoo, and we're going to fix it. Because what you if you take a vacation, somebody could squat in your home, and it is very difficult to remove them legally.
Well, what kind of fixes do you see to this? I mean, it's been going on forever.
Well, what's happened is we actually saw some videos where people are being told how to squat. Okay. You know, this is literally left coast, west coast, you know, problems in New York, New Jersey, California. And so it's become far more aggressive. So we're going to substantially increase criminal penalties. We're going to give tools to law enforcement, because the family in San Antonio, the very nice Menendez family that came to the hearing, they drove around for 9 months with the title to their home in their car, showing San Antonio PD that they owned it, and they still couldn't get anybody to evict this guy.
To make sure I'm clear, what kind of changes do you think need to be made to state law after this hearing you held recently?
Well, we need a rocket docket at JP courts, and we need oversight in case
What does that mean about the docket at JP courts where these go right now?
Well, right now, you know, you can have delays of up to months, okay, to get a hearing, to get somebody off your property or out of your home. See, the testimony of the homeowners is critical, because once somebody gets in there, they start tearing the place up. And in one case, they literally took all the possessions, put them out on the front lawn, sold it at a garage sale, and for drug money, pennies on the dollar. I'm not making this stuff up. Okay, you're going to interview her.
it sounds crazy. When I hear about these squatting stories, the first thing that I think of is like the stand your ground law. If someone's on your property, can't you force them off your property? And why isn't the government doing more to handle that?
Well, it starts from the fact we don't have a definition of squatting, which is another big bell ringer that we got out of the hearing. Now, the problem is that unless you're there and you see somebody break in, you know, the police would, I would hope, would react to that as a burglary. But in the case of the Mesquite homeowner, she apparently called on the wrong phone line instead of 911. She called on a 311 information line.
Sure.
So, you know, so that didn't taken seriously. But once somebody's in, they can claim, oh, I've got a lease. And then they can falsify the lease. Oh, I've got adverse possession. And the police are very reluctant to get into something what they think is a civil matter. So we're going to make it a criminal trespass because that's what it is. I mean, think about it. Somebody could burglarize their home, break through a window. You're gone. Maybe you're helping your family members in Florida, you know, for 2 weeks, and you come back and you've got literally hell to pay to get that person out of your house.
This sounds disgusting when we hear what people are going through, what Texans are going through across the state.
Well, look, for example, in down in Southeast Texas, we had this big storm. We've got people who are still without power. Okay. Maybe they'll be out of power for 10 days. Well, great. They come back in and there's somebody squatting in their property. What do they do? So we're going to make it, we're going to give substantial criminal penalties. We're going to make it easier for law enforcement to like be able to automatically check with the appraisal district records to see who like owns the place, try to sort the wheat from the chaff and go to the JP court quickly, but with deference to the homeowner. See, the problem is we've let renters have a lot of help. They do. They get a lot of assistance from state and county folks, from cities, about maintaining their rental capability because they're legitimate. But a squatter has no legitimacy, so they shouldn't get the same protections.
All right. I told y'all that this was going to be a fascinating topic, especially if you own property here in Texas. It sounds like something is going to get done in this next legislative session, which starts in January. We're going to keep tabs on this to make sure and see if something gets done here. I just think this is something that so many lawmakers and homeowners all just kind of thought, well, surely we've got something for that. Surely we have laws for that. And we're finding out the hard way that no, we don't have a law that addresses squatters taking over your house. One quick note before I let you go. We were talking with Terry offline after we just got done recording with her. And she does say there is a little bit of progress here. She's expecting sometime in the next 3 weeks for them to finish this sort of hazmat clean out there at the house. And they're finally going to be able to get a contractor in there, she thinks, to start rebuilding her home. Boy, what a journey, a journey that no one ever would want to be on. If you have thoughts or some amazing ideas that we might want to do here on Yolitics that have, you know, political implications here in Texas, hit us up. We're at Yolitics, Yallitics at WFAA.com. WF as in Frank, AA.com. Thanks, as always, for listening. We will do it again next week. And this time, Whiteley and I are going to be together, even though I kind of like it like this. See y'all next time.
Hey, y'all. Want to see the Jasons Talk Politics? Download the WFAA Plus streaming app for your smart TV and watch the latest episode of Yolitics each Wednesday night at 8:30.